Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a tale of two primaries. New York State has this bizarre quirk in its election law these days that requires primary elections for federal offices in June and for state and local offices in September. So later this month, Democratic voters in Charles Rangel's congressional district, federal office, will choose between him, Adriano Espaillat, and two other candidates. Then in September, voters will nominate state legislature candidates, the most interesting there being whether the rogue Democrats in the state Senate, like Jeff Klein of the Bronx and Westchester and Tony Avella in Queens, who are helping Republicans keep power in the Senate, will be defeated by regular Democrats, Oliver Capel in the Bronx and John Liu in Queens. There are new tales to tell in both these primaries. Laura Namias from Capital New York is here to fill us in and take some calls. Hi, Laura. Welcome to WNY.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And the big primary coming up just 2 weeks from tomorrow is between Congressman Charles Rangel and three challengers, most notably State Senator Adriano Espaillat of Upper Manhattan. They had their first televised debate on Channel 7 over the weekend. And, of course, one demographic dynamic in this race is Espaillat's potential to be the first Dominican-American from New York in Congress. Would he be the first Dominican-American at all? Do you know?
In Congress? Yes, I believe so.
So history. And that's increasingly possible because of the current population of the district trending more Latino. So they held a debate on Friday. Channel 7 became in part about accusations having to do with race.
He has never had this much of a complaint against anything I've done and has been vocal in support of what I've done. What changes mine are two things: the district lines, which change the population of both sides, and the fact that he wants to be the Jackie Robinson of the Dominicans in the Congress, which is ambitious. But the fact is that Jackie Robinson was a star before he reached the major leagues, and he's not a Jackie Robinson.
Okay, I'm going to let you respond, then I'll let you respond, too.
I'm really saddened that the congressman tries to frame this race among racial and ethnic silos. I think that's a disservice to your constituents, Congressman. This is about all communities. This is about all neighborhoods. This is about African-Americans, whites, Asians, Dominicans, Puerto Rican. This is not about one community against each other. And you trying to frame the debate in this fashion. It's a disservice to your constituency and to this debate.
Rangel first, Espaillat second there. And we'll hear some more of that exchange shortly. Laura Namias, wow. I mean, first of all, using Jackie Robinson as a negative.
there seems to be some disingenuousness on both sides in that segment from the debate. Using Jackie Robinson as a negative, clearly that's an interesting tack. Idea that one might need to be a star before they ran for public office is not necessarily in the Democratic spirit.
He had an old – people who are really politics junkies would recognize the reference to the old Lloyd Benson debate line when Benson was – the vice presidential Democratic vice presidential nominee way back in the 80s, saying to Dan Quayle, running with the first George Bush, who had invoked John Kennedy as a hero. And Lloyd Benson said, "I knew John Kennedy. Senator Quayle, you're no John Kennedy." One of the most famous presidential, really vice presidential televised debate lines. And here Rangel says, "You're no Jackie Robinson." So who is he appealing to with that line of attack?
He is appealing to, I guess, anyone who will listen. It seems that Rangel has reached a potential desperation point.
We're trying to get black voters in the district
exactly. To
think we're not going to have this guy running on Dominican pride come and take our historically black seat.
Yes, it's the district's demographics are changing, and the district was redrawn in 2012 in part to reflect the plurality of Hispanic voters there. And so there's this appeal to African-American voters. This race will be likely have a very low turnout in a couple of weeks. And so just a handful of people, a couple hundred people deciding to come out and vote and try to help Charlie Rangel keep his seat will make all of the difference.
Or the other way around. And so they're just trying to emphasize these small but passionate groups of voters, whoever might be susceptible to one appeal or the other. So listeners in that district, if you're black, if you're Latino, if you're other, call in and tell us how all of this strikes you. Are you following Rangel versus Espaillat? New Yorkers aren't even used to voting at all in June. This is a pretty new thing. So this is one of the reasons we are obligated to do this segment, as part of our mission, let you know that this race, which will determine who has the congressional seat in Upper Manhattan and that part of the Bronx, because obviously no Republican is going to beat whoever this nominee is in November. This is the election for that congressional district. So if you're in that district, and most of you know who you are, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Are you leaning Rangel? Are you leaning Espaillat? Do you care about these kinds of appeals? And here is part two. And again, the phone number, 212-433-WNYC. Just want to make sure you know it, 212-433-9692. This stretch comes right after the excerpt we just aired, and it regards a flyer from 2012 that portrayed another Latino candidate for another office as a traitor for backing Rangel. Now, that gets a little confusing. So, Laura, before we play the clip, you want to remind us who that flyer was aimed at and why Rangel would raise it as an issue 2 years later against Espaillat?
It was aimed, I believe, at Guillermo Linares, who was challenging Adriano Espaillat in his Senate race.
State Senate race.
In his state Senate race, and who is also Dominican American, but who had decided to endorse Rangel. And that was seen as a crucial endorsement for Rangel in 2012. And
this pro Espaillat flyer used the word traitor.
Right.
With respect to Linares, implying ethnic traitor.
Yes, that so he had betrayed his Dominican American heritage deciding to back.
So here is how that came up in the Channel 7 debate.
You should really apologize to your constituents.
Yeah. I apologize if you withdrew a literature that you have depicted Dominicans that didn't support you as traitors. I brought it up to you. I showed it to you. You said that it wasn't your people that distributed that you endorsed it. And even as we talk today, I would ask you, do you believe that someone that has a Dominican background, if they don't support you, would be a traitor? I mean, they say this, that you've said it in Dominican Republic, you said it in Washington Heights. Say something public about a congressman has to represent all parts of the district and not just the one that is background.
I'm going to let Mr. Espaillat answer and then you too, Mr. Morgan.
You are the one framing this debate along racial and ethnic lines. You continue to say that. We have been very disciplined about talking about the issues.
I'm talking about
said. Don't interrupt me, please. I let you speak.
You're right.
Don't interrupt me.
You're right.
You know, and to come here and spew division in front of the city and the state, it's not a becoming of you or your title as a congressman.
So Espaillat speaking second there, Rangel speaking first. I figure many of you recognize Charles Rangel's voice. And listeners, if you live in that district, are you leaning one way or another? What do you think about these charges back and forth of racializing the campaign or anything else? 212-433-WNYC. Dominicans listening or any other Latinos listening for that matter in the district, is it a source of pride? Is it a legitimate point on which to consider a vote that he would be the Jackie Robinson of the Dominicans in Congress, first ever Dominican in Congress, 212-433-WNYC, or anyone else, 212-433-9692, specifically if you're in the district. And before we take some calls, Laura Nami is from Capitol, New York. As your site wrote up today, Reverend Al Sharpton is jumping into this fray, warning the candidates, but it seems like mostly warning Rangel,
right,
against racializing the campaign. What's Sharpton's place here?
Well, Sharpton has taken on a renewed importance in the city as a figure of some clout because of his proximity to the de Blasio administration and his welcoming embrace from the city's mayor. And he is a bellwether for a lot of political sentiment at this point in the city. And I, as someone who frequently in the past has taken on issues that are racialized, his weighing in and sort of discouraging Rangel from engaging in divisive politics, although he didn't say his name, that seems like an indicator of where maybe he thinks the race is going to go.
There's something, Rich, about Al Sharpton urging yes. candidates in a campaign not to use race as an issue.
Right.
Normally he would earnestly defend race as an issue that can't be ignored. I mean, if we're going to take this out of politics and say that there's anything, any, you know, actual underpinning of belief here, I would imagine he would say empowerment of different minority groups through districting is actually an important thing.
Right.
And to just be open about it. But now Sharpton portraying race as an ugly tactic.
That seems to me an indicator of the shrewd political side of Mr. Sharpton, that he maybe is trying to hedge his bets in case Esbayat wins, trying to be on the side, the winning side.
Reverend Mr.
Yes.
Arthur in Kingsbridge. You're on WNYC. Hello, Arthur.
Hey, Brian. How are you doing? It's good to talk to you again.
Thanks for calling.
A few things. I'm a Democrat. I'm from the city. I'm 33 years old. I love voting, so I know that kind of makes me. I'll definitely be voting. I got my mailer in the mail the other day. I can't wait to vote.
You're a democracy wonk.
I sure am. I love your show too.
Thank you.
A few things. I don't like the way that the city Democrats seem to be getting more and more liberal. I like a little balance in my government. That's why I like Bloomberg, but not really, you know. And I feel like. As for the state senator, he's from the state government, which is so super corrupt, and I really despise the state assembly and the state senate and anyone from there. And he's from there, and the city Democrats are on his back because they're more Dominicans and Latinos. And that's why I'm voting for Rangel.
How about any of these racial questions for you? I see you identified yourself to our screener as that you're black and your wife is Puerto Rican, correct?
Yes. I mean, I'm a city kid. I grew up in a city. I love all the races. And, you know, that part doesn't even really matter. It's just more of what is Esbayat running on? He's not running against Rangel. He's running for Dominicans. You know, Rangel has plenty of faults. He had that thing where wasn't paying his taxes on whatever, and he's not running on that. He's running against, you know, he's old and I'm young, and there are more Dominicans in the city.
Yeah, and Arthur, are you and your wife having this conversation, or are you and your wife and your friends? Are you down with each other on this point of view?
I'm only having this conversation with you. Nobody else cares.
Nobody else cares. All right, Arthur, you got to find yourself a good political club to join in the Kingsbridge section of the Bronx. Let's go to Mike in Inwood. Mike, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. Yeah, I'm neither black nor Hispanic. My wife, however, is Hispanic. My feeling is that Charlie Rangel has a long-term congressman, therefore very high in the seniority, and has always been very effective. I've always supported him in the past. I have not heard any policy distinction between Esbayat and Rangel that would cause me to assume that Esbayat is running on anything except his Dominican background.
Mike, thank you. And Laura Namias, he brings up a couple of very interesting points. One is there are no policy distinctions between these liberal Democrats from Upper Manhattan and the Bronx. Correct Mike if he's wrong. I don't know of any either. And then if they agree on the issues and you assume that Rangel is more effective because of his seniority, I don't know if we can assume that, but that's the argument, you know, then there's a lot to be said on the Rangel side. First of all, are there any policy differences that you know of?
Well, I do know of one, I believe, that came out of the debate last week. There are slightly differing positions among the candidates on marijuana. Rangel believes in decriminalizing it, and Esbayat wanted medical marijuana to come first, which aligns with the position of his conference. And yes, there is this effectiveness argument, but both sides are using it against each other. Espaillat's argument seems to be that Rangel, since his censure in the House, has not been able to do a whole lot, despite his many years in Congress.
He was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee at that time, and he was forced to give it up because of the censure.
Humiliating for the congressman, but he has spring in his step again, and he is lively, even if his opponents are arguing that he has lost some of his clout. But the argument goes both ways. Espaillat has been, as one of the callers said, in the state Senate, where he has been in the minority conference, and despite he is a strong advocate for many things related to rent laws and tenant protections. But Senate Democrats have been unable to do much of anything because of their position in the minority. And so he does not have much of a recent record that he can run on either.
We can say one thing about Rangel, whether or not he's lost a step politically at 80, whatever he is, he has not lost any of his spunk, we can tell from these televised debates.
He is feisty. He was recovering from an injury in 2012, but he is back up and dancing all the time, it seems like, these days.
Elizabeth on the Upper West Side, part of that in the district as well. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Brian. I've lived in Rangel's congressional district for 40 years. First up in Washington Heights, and now the little piece of the Upper West Side he represents. I've never missed a primary in the 40 years I've lived in New York. I'm an active member of a political club. I supported Rangel in 2010 after the censure because I felt I wanted to honor his long record of accomplishment. However, I could not support him in 2012, and I'm not supporting him this year. I'm supporting Espaillat. By the way, there have been no allegations of corruption against Adriano Espaillat. So to paint him with the broad brush of corruption in Albany, I think is unfair.
That's good to point out, because the previous caller, I know what you're referring to, the caller from Kingsbridge, who didn't accuse Espaillat of being corrupt, but he said he comes from the state Senate, which has so much corruption in it. And you're right to point out that people could have gotten that impression, and there has been no charge of corruption against Espaillat that I know.
Nor Bill Perkins or Dick Gottfried or Senator Liz Krueger or any of the other great Manhattan Democrats.
Manhattan delegation.
But my argument for time for Rangel to go now is really about the need to develop a new generation of leadership. And despite his 43 years in Congress, he has never done that. He still holds several party positions in his district. And at one point he said, if there was anyone else he thought was qualified to do this job, he would support that person. Well, shame on him if in 40 years in office at the center of the black political universe here, he has not developed that next generation of leadership. You have to do that in the private sector. You have to do that in the not-for-profit sector. I serve on several not-for-profit boards, and succession planning is very much a part of your obligation as a leader.
Only when you're ready to leave, though. But, Elizabeth, I take your point. Thank you very much. So we've heard some arguments from callers for Rangel against Espaillat, for Espaillat against Rangel. With Laura Namias, political reporter for Capital New York. And before we run out of time, we did set this up as a tale of two primaries. And this Rangel Espaillat, which is coming right up 2 weeks from tomorrow, became so interesting and we got so many callers that we're going to give this other one short shrift for today. But I just want to touch it. The big news a week ago that we talked about on this show and, you know, that was in all the political media, was Governor Cuomo winning the Working Families Party nomination in exchange for promising to help bring these rogue Democrats in from the cold, which would give Democrats control of the Senate. Jeff Klein from the Bronx and a little part of Westchester, now Tony Avella from Queens, being challenged in primaries by so-called regular Democrats because Klein and Avella vote with the Republicans for who leads the Senate, which winds up blocking all kinds of liberal legislation in the long run. So Cuomo came out and said, if you don't rejoin the Democrats, I'm going to fight against you in the primary too. Has this put the fear of God in Andrew into Jeff Klein and Tony Avella in a way that they have walked away from that coalition with the Republicans?
Absolutely not. Klein has several major union endorsements, and he has not – he's being pressured by Ken Lovett of the Daily News reported today that one of the members of the Independent Democratic Conference, David Carlucci, the youngest member, is pressuring Klein and the four other members of the IDC to rejoin the mainline Democrats, presumably because Carlucci fears losing his seat in a primary from a Democrat.
Carlucci in Rockland.
Yes,
does he have a primary challenge also?
The Democrats are trying to get a candidate to run against him, as they are with Senator Dave Valesky further upstate. All of the Democrats are trying to find challengers for all of them. That we know that there already are challengers for Senator Klein mm-hmm. and for Senator Avella. But Jeff Klein has not indicated that he would be willing to do that yet. He's not ready to give up without a fight. Neither has Senator Diane Savino.
Of Staten Island. And for what? I mean, is it simply, in Jeff Klein's case especially, splitting off from his party, anything else that he gets to be the co-majority leader with Republican Dean Skelos in this deal? He gets personally elevated in power. Is this just a stunt to give him power rather than have him be just one of the, you know, backbench rank and file in the Democratic majority? Or is there anything more to it than that?
That's always been the issue, and that is part of the reason that Klein broke away from the mainline Democrats to begin with, that it was unlikely, and people always said within the Democratic conference that he would never get to be the majority leader because there are certain rules for who gets to lead the conference. And Klein is a prodigious fundraiser and very smart politically and wants to be the leader of the conference. And it is not clear that if he rejoined it, he would be able to share a leadership position with Andrea Stewart Cousins or that he would retain any of the power and money and perks that come along with a powerful position.
All right. So far, not cracking under the pressure of even Governor Cuomo joining the fight against these five being rogue Democrats, giving veto power for all legislation to the Republicans in the New York State Senate when otherwise they would not have it. This fight really just beginning, since that primary isn't until September.
Oh, yes. It's going to get more and more interesting in the days and weeks to come, I'm sure.
Lauren Amias covering that and more for Capital New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you.